Andy Sheetal did that. And he knows that I'm a Ohio State fan, and Ohio State and Penn State play this Saturday night. And so Randy's kind of started it already. And Randy has already admitted that he's probably going to be very disappointed come halftime, and I agreed with him on that, but that's fine. I guess if you want to, you can leave me messages up here on the marker board. It just means I'll comment on them, and I have the microphone and you don't. So it's up to you, up to you. Well, last week we began studying prayer, and we will do so for a number of weeks. And as we get into November and December, there'll be a variety of things that interrupt us, as it were. And so we'll be looking at prayer for a few weeks here, and then we'll have some other things going on. And January, we'll get back to it. And I'm not sure exactly how long we're going to study prayer. The interesting thing is, I preached. I brought devotionals on prayer for about 6 years back in Ohio. I brought devotionals on prayers in Scripture. And we didn't even get through all of them. We didn't even get to some of the more famous prayers in the Bible. So I don't know that we'll go 6 years, but there is plenty of, shall we say, material to study prayers in Scripture. And they are informative, they're instructive, they are soul edifying, and they are good. And so I enjoy the study. I trust that you will as well. Kind of our motto for Bethel Baptist Church is growing more and better disciples. And as we study prayer, this is an opportunity for us to be better disciples. This is a prime opportunity for us to be better disciples. You know, Jesus told his disciples, don't pray like the Pharisees. Pray this way. That was how things were set up for the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And then in Luke 11, where we were last week, the disciples said, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, okay, pray this way. So if we want to be better disciples, part of that is going to be being instructed in prayer. So I want to do a little bit of review. We did some back and forth last week, and I want to continue that this week. And I want to start out with seeing if we can remember kind of our tagline. And I'll draw up here a few clues. Now, I had some feedback last week that my stick people were less than clear. So I'm going to put an eye and a mouth on this guy so you know which way our canoe is headed, right? Our canoe is headed this way. Is that good, Joyce? Okay. All right. So, not that Joyce was the only one who complained, but she did note. Okay, so there's our canoe. I shouldn't have told you what it was. All right, so we're going to move this canoe actually this way for a purpose. And there's that. There's his smile. There's his eye. All right, so what was our phrase? Anybody kind of remember the first part? Prayer is... I know you know what it is, Jed, because you actually prayed about it. What's our next word? Prayer is aligning the... Try this more time. Prayer is aligning the canoe of my soul with the current of God's sovereignty. Prayer is aligning the canoe of my soul with the current of God's sovereignty. And we looked last week at the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11. And we noted in that prayer several different sections to the prayer. And what did we note, kind of in a big picture way, about those sections? There were about six or seven sections. Praising God, praying for Jesus coming, praying for physical provision, praying for forgiveness. What did we notice when we looked at those six or seven sections? Steve? Good. That was the first thing we noted, the proportions of that prayer. And we thought about, maybe we should ponder the proportions in our own praying. Does anybody remember the second thing? This may not have been, we didn't spend as much time on this. It may not have stuck out to you as much. We are prone to pray about the unknown And as we look at the Lord's Prayer, what does Jesus teach his disciples to pray about? Pray about the known. Pray about things that are, we would almost say, kind of duh. Like, I learned that back in first grade Sunday school. Things like Jesus is coming back and we're supposed to pray that Jesus would come back. We're supposed to pray that, yes, we would be forgiven of our sins. We should pray that God would deliver us from evil. We know He wants to. Why should we pray about that? That's where we kind of noted that prayer is getting lined up with the way God wants us to go. Pray about knowns more than praying about the unknowns. One of the things that we could have taken out of last week's time together is that, well, then we should not pray for physical things, or maybe we would feel embarrassed to pray about physical things. And maybe as you went to prayer, you felt self-conscious last week about praying for so-and-so's health or whatever. I don't want us to do that. I don't want us to feel self-conscious about that, because Jesus did tell us to pray for our daily bread. But what I want us to think about is the proportions. I want God's Word to make us better disciples so that our praying looks more and more like the way Jesus taught His disciples to pray. And so what I want to do tonight is to just ponder how we do pray about, shall we say, physical needs. To think about how the Bible instructs us in that way in a few different passages. I don't want us to think that we should never pray those things. I don't want us to be self-conscious about it. But I do want us to pray in a way that the Bible would instruct us to. So we're going to look at two different things. We're going to look at praying for health, and we're going to look at praying for finances. And the first place that we're going to look at praying for health is there in 3 John in verse 2. Can I get somebody who would read that verse for us tonight? 3 John verse 2. Jason, I saw you look at me, so now the rest of you are going to be afraid to look at me. Nah, Jason and I are good enough friends, so I can call on him that way. Jason, can I ask you to read 3 John verse 2 for us tonight?
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper.
Let's just do a little bit of Bible study tonight and find out, who is this verse about? It's not in verse 2, but it's in 3 John. Who is verse 2 about? And if you butcher the guy's name, it won't be the first time. Gaius. Go with either pronunciation. So verse 1 tells us that John is writing to Gaius. And he has a wish. And I think that this wish, if you've got a footnote in your Bible like mine does, it says, or pray. Beloved, I wish or I pray. And he has a request. And his request does have to do with the physical aspect of Gaius' life. But what do you notice about the way that John frames his prayer for Gaius? How does he frame his prayer? Steve.
Pray that his physical health would be as his spiritual health.
That's an interesting way to put it, isn't it? What if we started praying for each other in that way? I guess let's just for a moment pause and think to ourselves, on a scale of 1 to 10, how physically healthy am I? And just go ahead and get a number in your mind. We're not going to ask you for it, I promise. We're not going to embarrass anybody here. On a scale of 1 to 10, how physically healthy are you? And then on a scale of 1 to 10, thinking honestly, humbly, soberly, how spiritually healthy are you? Scale of 1 to 10, how spiritually healthy are you? So you should have two numbers in your mind. One, what your physical health is, and the second, what your spiritual health is. And how do those line up? Is there a great disparity between those two? Are they about the same? Are they high the same? Are they low the same? Are they kind of different? I find it interesting here that as John prays, wishes, desires for Gaius to be healthy, he ties it directly to the health of his soul. He connects the physical with the spiritual in his praying. There was a man in the church where we were part of back in Ohio. Young guy, about my age, who suffered a brain aneurysm while he was working out. Careful, Jason. Stay good. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He's just working out. Actually, a little bit less than he usually, a little bit weight than he usually had, and he had a brain aneurysm. 42 years old, and got rushed to the emergency room and taken down to one of the major hospitals in Cleveland, Cleveland Clinic, and had brain surgery within a couple days. Survived, doing well, is as fit as he was before. He was an elder in our church. He's kind of like E.F. Hutton. You remember E.F. Hutton? When E.F. Hutton talks, people, when Scott talked, people listened. He was one of those guys you could pray, Lord, make Scott's body as healthy as his soul is. Because we're not two kind of separate parts jammed together. But in God's creative design, we are a unit. We are an entity. We are dust formed by God and then breathed in by the Spirit of God and animated and made alive. And the material and the immaterial, they wind themselves together. I mean, think about it. You have a brain and you have a mind that is, well, in some way connected to your brain, but your mind is not your brain. Your mind is something that's beyond that. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And John brings together the body and the soul in this prayer. John knows that Gaius is an obedient individual. I erased my little pictogram up here. Gaius is a man who is very much lined up in the current of God's sovereignty. He's obedient. He's spiritually healthy. And so John prays that his body would be that healthy as well. That's one of the prayers that I find in our New Testament that helps me. Let's go together to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 next. In 3 John, we saw how we can pray for other people's health. And you know, maybe you'll be encountering praying for someone who isn't all that spiritually healthy. But I think even that verse in 3 John can give us this pattern of praying both for spiritual and physical health at the very same time. I think that for me is the takeaway. As we pray for people's physical health, we can pray for their spiritual health at the very same time. And maybe they'll connect and correlate very well. Maybe we'll be praying for their spiritual health to be as good as or better than their physical health. But we can put those two together. So I'm going to just jot that up here. Pray for both physical and spiritual health. We come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 next, and we are noting another health condition. I think we can put it that way accurately. It's Paul when he is experiencing what the scriptures call the thorn in the flesh. And so let's start reading verse 7. After he tells us about this experience that he had, and Paul relates that experience in a very humble way. He says in verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, thrice, that it might depart from me." And he He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. One of the things that, just from the very get-go, jumps out at me in this small section of verses is the fact that Bible characters are not static. Bible characters are dynamic. We are so prone just to kind of pigeonhole people, right? So-and-so, they're a good person. So-and-so, they're a bad person. We do that in everyday life. And we tend to do that with Bible characters, too. But the fact of the matter is that none of us are the same person that we were 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago. We undergo changes. And in these four or five short verses, we see Paul undergoing a change. We see Paul as a missionary becoming a better disciple, just like we need to become better disciples. Tell me a little bit about how you see Paul being, I guess you could say, a dynamic person. How do we see the dynamic character of Paul, as opposed to the static character of Paul, shown to us in these verses? Give me a little feedback. Yes, Margie. All right. Good. What would you add to that? I mean, that's the crux of it, Eric.
Seems like he was subject to pride because God gave him this so that he would not become proud.
Why do you say that? What in the text lends you to say? I mean, you're calling Paul a person who has some degree of pride here, or is at least tempted to it. That's correct. And in fact, verse 7 says it twice. At the beginning of the verse and at the end of the verse. Paul wants to repeat a temptation he was at least facing, a temptation he was at least aware of. And I'm sorry, I called you by the wrong name. Margie, I said Margie, it's not Margie. June? Judy, thank you. Judy, you say he really seemed to pour out his soul. And he says, I besought the Lord. He beseeched the Lord. So yeah, there's an energy there. What else do you note about this change in Paul, this improvement in his spiritual state? Yes, ma'am.
Not only did he accept it, he glorified
in it. That's amazing to comprehend. We're so prone just to kind of be like, I'll take it. Why does he glory in it? There's a reason he glories in it. It's more than just the overcomer mentality, as noble as that is. Dennis?
He says that the power of Christ may rest upon him, that he would be assured and confident in the power of Christ. He accepted.
All right. Good. I think what we're seeing here is, if I can put it this way, I think we're seeing a canoe get lined up, right? Are we seeing a man who, he's not evil. We're not looking at Hitler here. We're looking at a missionary. And through this earnest prayer, he is becoming a better disciple of Christ. So much so that he would even rejoice in bad things happening, because what do those bad things result in? They result in the power of Christ being displayed. They result in the strength of Christ becoming visible in his life. It's interesting that Mr. Clark's not here tonight. I didn't call him and tell him I was going to use him as an illustration, but he kind of opened himself up last week. I will I think, always remember the first words, I think, that I ever heard Rich Clark say. What did he say that night when we prayed for him? The first thing he said was, I thank God for my cancer. Reminds me of someone who wrote a blog a number of years ago, Don't Waste Your Cancer. I thank God for my cancer. He talked more about that night. I think he summarized it very well last Wednesday night when he said, God is more concerned about our character than our circumstances. Those are things that you only learn when you go through some sort of crucible like that. But not everybody goes through a crucible like that, learns that, do they? Now, it's those who in that crucible spend time praying. They spend time in the Word and they allow that time in prayer to get them lined up. Because God's going to do in Rich Clark's body what God is going to do. And what He's going to do is good and it's perfect and it has an end that is best for Rich and will glorify God the most. And what God is doing is He is shaping Rich Clark to be in line with what He wants to do in Rich Clark. If you're the Apostle Paul and you've seen the third heaven, that's a hard secret to keep. But when you know that you have this physical malady that will not be taken away from you, in fact hinders you from normal activity or normal productivity, and you feel and you are weak, you begin to see that what God wants to do in our lives is to make it very evident that it's all about Him. It's not all about us, and it's not all about what we can do, and it's not all about what we may be capable of or what we may be entitled to or what we may have experienced that should take us to X level. And it happened through praying. Paul praying for his own health. And it changed him. Changed him. Some prayers about health. Prayer changes my attitude, my reflection. The last place I want to go tonight is in Proverbs chapter 30. Many times as we pray for physical things, we pray for health, and other times we pray for finances. And rightfully so. We live in an economy that goes up and down, and for the last 6 or 7 years, it seems to have been going down faster than it's going up, and we can talk about all kinds of political forces that affect that, we could do that, I'm not sure, to much help at all. We are where we are. But there is an interesting prayer in the book of Proverbs that, for me, has been a bit of a model for praying for finances for others and for myself, along with some other verses, and we'll talk about those another time. But let's look at some biblical example, biblical instruction about praying for our finances. Proverbs chapter 30, starting in verse 7. Two things have I required of thee, deny them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? And lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. These are the words, according to verse 1 of Agur. And we don't know really much about this man. We just know that he wrote chapter 30. What is his request in verses 7, 8, and 9? What is Agur's request in verses 7, 8, and 9? Yes, Dave. All right. To neither be wealthy nor dirt poor. And he has some very self-aware reasons for that. What are his reasons for not wanting to be dirt poor? Let's just start with that one. What are his reasons for not wanting to be dirt poor? I think I'm taking them in reverse order. Sorry about that. Tempted to sin against God and steal. So what Agur has done is he's taken his pocketbook and he's tied it straight to his soul, right? He's tied it straight to his relationship with God. He sees the connection between his pocketbook and the, which command? Is that the ninth one? Eighth one? One of those, right? One of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Now perhaps his idea of theft was actually going into someone's house and taking it. Perhaps our idea of theft is an expense report that's not quite as accurate. Maybe it's a reimbursement form that's a little fudged on the numbers. Maybe it's a tax return. Maybe it's some sort of mistake in someone's financial agreement with us, and it's to our benefit, and we just kind of let it go. You know, we can think of all kinds of ways to bring those into our context. But he takes a very real financial situation and ties it to a soul. Well, the other one was he didn't want to starve to death. And why was he praying that God would, in essence, give him enough so he wasn't starving? Why did he not want to be dirt poor? Steve? And now that one seems less specific. What do you think that means, Steve? Okay. Anybody else want to chime in? What does it mean when we look there in verse number 9, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? What does that mean? This is why he didn't want to be rich. Yes. Okay. We, in our context here, are perhaps closer. I'm not going to say we're mega rich, but we're probably closer to the rich end than the dirt poor end. Let's just talk about some contemporary 2014 ways where we could, as it says in verse 9, be full, deny the Lord, and say, who is the Lord? What are some of the ways where we can be tempted to do that? Sir?
We have all our physical needs met. You know, we have our children are fed. You know, we have the house over, the roof over our head. We have a car, transportation. You know, we're not working ourselves to death, but we're content where we are.
Yeah, okay, good. What else? What are some other ways where we're full and we could say, who is the Lord? That's a very interesting phrase. Who is the Lord? Yes? Good. How about one more? Just kind of let's just color this a little bit. What does this mean here and now for us? Yes. I've known men who, when times were tough, they were in church, and when the financial pressure was kind of relaxed, they didn't come. That's a very real possibility. That's a very real possibility. And so this man ties his pocketbook, whether it's slim to empty or big and fat, he ties it to his soul. He sees the connection between what's going on in the physical realm of his life, the financial realm of his life, and what's going on in his soul. Rob. I think that is something that actually went through my mind. This "who is the Lord" could be an outright statement of denial, and it could be an active denial, or it could be just that passive denial where we neglect to recognize Him. And so we're no longer grateful for the little bit that we have that is so precious to us. Now we have so much. It's just kind of like, I've got it. I deserve this. I'm owed it. I had it yesterday. I had it last week. I had it last year. I've got it now. And we just passively deny the Lord. I think that can happen in a spiritual sense. I think it can happen in a financial sense. And so even as Agur is looking at his finances and praying about them, he's praying about them with his soul in mind. I'm pretty sure that all of us here have some financial situations that are challenging. Even in America, even with the abundance that we have, there's stuff that comes up. There are decisions that we've made. There are responsibilities that we have. And we are in some sort of need. From these verses, I would urge us to pray that God would take care of those financial needs in a way that not only benefits that need, but also benefits our soul. As we pray for others who may have a financial need, may we pray that as God meets that need, He also meets the needs in their soul. This man saw the temptations down the road, and he prayed accordingly because he wanted to obey the Lord and he wanted to trust the Lord. He wanted to obey the Lord by not stealing, and he wanted to trust the Lord. He wanted to never say, "Who is the Lord?" And so pray that we would trust and obey. We've got to pray for physical needs because these things come up. We've got to pray for physical needs because Jesus taught us to. As we pray for these physical needs, let us remember there is a strong spiritual component because God has made us material and immaterial. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and they intertwine, they connect, and God cares about both. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it meets us where we are. And Lord, as we think about it meeting us where we are, there's the very real possibility that it meets us in very relevant ways even tonight. And so, Lord, for those who are in that situation, I pray that Your Word would not be washed over by the events of the night and forgotten. I pray that Your Word would not be picked up by Satan and removed from the soil of our lives where faith is supposed to mix with it and produce fruit. But Lord, I pray that we would be remembering hearers. And Lord, I pray that You'd make us better disciples as we pray for physical things in a way that takes into account the soul and that desires You to grow us even in these difficult circumstances. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.